Be seated this morning. God bless you.
Amen.
In the cross, that's where we need to be.
Amen.
In Christ, in the cross. Amen. There's just a few prayer requests I want to share with you before we pray and get into the scriptures. And it's a very difficult time for my son's wife's family, Brittany. Her father, Brian, is very near death right now. All weekend, he's been in the hospital. Everything's failing, and so he's just in the last moments. And I did get to see him. I have been praying. I wanted to talk to him. You know, we want everybody to be saved.
Amen.
I mean, that's just our desire. I mean, I've tried to talk to him before, and you know, things didn't go exactly as I hoped, but the Lord did answer my prayer, and I got to share with him. I asked his wife if I could speak to him alone, and she did let me do that, and he was aware. He was he understood what was happening to him.
Amen.
And so, you know, I had been praying a lot about him and his family, and you know, we know the Lord could raise people up.
Amen.
See, that's the hard part sometimes, is we can't make God do that.
Amen.
We believe God can, and He does, and we don't understand why. It's not always that way. But even if He raised up off the bed and became perfectly whole, you know, He needs salvation.
Amen.
You know, so you're going to get sick again. You're going to die at some point. So, I was praying, and I got to share with him a few scriptures about, you know, Christ came not to condemn; He came to save.
Amen.
And, you know, I talked to him about what we're trusting in is not what we've done, but what He's done.
Amen.
You know, and to me, if any person can just grasp that we're not trusting in ourselves, we're not trusting in our works. You know, the creeds of men point people to works, but we're trusting solemnly in the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I believe that is salvation.
Amen.
I believe the good news is a simple gospel.
Amen.
It's about not what we did, but our faith in what He did.
Amen.
Our faith in what He did. So, you know, you don't have a lot of time with someone in that condition. And I prayed, and I felt like the Lord helped me. And, you know, only God knows what He really understands.
Amen.
So he's gone into that condition where he's getting medicine for the pain. He's in a lot, his systems are shutting down, cancer, and so let's just remember that family and Brian today. And also, I got a call from a text message from Brother Stanley. There's a woman, Patricia Charles. He asked us to pray for her. She's unable to function, to talk after having a baby, after giving birth. So something, obviously, we know it's a very real thing, postpartum. You know, things happen, and I'm sure physically things and emotionally things can happen. So let's all stand. If you have a prayer request, just hold it up to God as we pray. We still need to remember all things are possible. All things are possible. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne of mercy, and you told us to boldly come, Lord. And we don't boldly come because we're worthy to come, Lord. We don't boldly come because we think we're something special, Lord. But the only reason we boldly come is because we believe with all of our hearts you paid the price on Calvary. You paid the price for all of our needs, Lord, for all of our sins, for our healing, for our salvation. You paid the price, Lord. And we hold up Brian Stacy before your throne and we ask for mercy on him and his family. Lord, as he would cross that river, Lord, we want you to hold his hand.
Yes, Lord.
We want you to save him, O God, as no one else can save him, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we've tried to point to the scriptures, Lord, but only you can work salvation in the heart of man. And Lord, we commit him into your hands and we ask for mercy.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for his family that's grieving, Lord, at this time and just exhausted, Father, and watching a loved one die. Lord, just strengthen them, help them. May this event cause them to draw closer to you, Lord. May it give us an opportunity to share the good news of Christ even more. Bless them, Lord. Lord, I pray for Patricia Charles. Something's happened, Lord. We just know that we don't know what happened, but we know you have the answer, Lord. And we ask you to go to her even now as they pray for her in another church building. We just ask that your spirit would go and may you receive all the glory and honor. May she be fully restored. Lord, and for all the unspoken prayer requests today, Lord, you see our hearts, Lord. Lord, there's many trials and tests, things that we don't have the resources. We don't have the ability, but we know that you have the ability, Lord. And we come to you today and we ask for your mercy. We ask you to meet every one of the needs of the people, Lord. We ask you to bless them, Lord, and give them the desire of their heart. Lord, we turn to you today. Bless the reading of your word now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn in the scriptures to Psalms 32. Psalm 32. And I'm going to start at verse 1. And I'm going to read all the way through to verse 11. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place.
Amen.
Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about.
Amen.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, we're living in the last days. I really believe we're in the last days, and you know, we've said that for a long time, but it doesn't make it untrue. You know, God, a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. You know, God is not as impatient as we are. But I do believe we're in the last days just before the coming of the Lord. And the Bible says it will be perilous times. And you can find that in 2 Timothy 3:1. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So that word perilous, if you look it up, it means hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous. Dangerous times. Harsh, fierce, savage. So we're living in those kind of days. We're living in a time where it's actually a dangerous time. And so we need God now more than ever.
Amen.
We need to make sure that we're in Christ. And Luke 21, speaking of the end times, verse 25, it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." And we'll talk about that word in a minute. "The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." This is a shaking time.
Amen.
We're in a shaking time. And I realize the Bible's talking about the tribulation period, but you know, there's a mixing, there's a blending in of times. And we're seeing the things of the wrath of God falling on the earth. Now, this distress of nations with perplexity. Perplexity means to stand in doubt, confusion, uncertainty. To be puzzled, bewildered over what is not understood or certain, to confuse mentally, to be without resources, to be in the straits, to be left wanting, to be embarrassed, to be in doubt, not to know which way to turn. That's where people are today. People that are without Christ, they don't know what to do. They really don't know what to do. They're just confused. And this is absolutely the worst terrible time to be without God. Any time is terrible, but in the last days before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, to be without God, to be without Christ is an awful thing. So we're living in this time where there's no place of rest. There is no hiding place outside of Christ. See, as I was thinking, there's no hiding from Christ, but you can hide in Christ.
Amen.
See, because He is our hiding place. That's what I want to talk about today. He is our hiding place. Christ is our hiding place. That's the place of our rest. That's the place where we feel secure. And that's the place that the world is without. You know, as I stood there in the room with people that they're have a Catholic background, and here's a loved one dying, and they don't know what to do. I mean, obviously, when people are dying, nobody knows what to do. But when you have Christ, you have faith, you have something to hold on to.
Amen.
You have an anchor. You know, the Word of God is our
Amen.
Anchor. There's power in the Word of God.
Amen.
There's strength and courage in Christ. If you have Christ in your soul, you have something the world is longing for.
Amen.
See, and that is our hiding place.
Amen.
He is our place of rest. He is. It's a wonderful thing when you realize what time we're living in. How do you get into Christ? By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body.
Amen.
So we know there has to be a new birth. There has to be a baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's how we get into Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I believe not only are we entering, but we're already into a lot of this trouble that's coming on the earth. We see what's happening. You know, there's talking about this virus that's spreading quickly. They don't know what to do with it. They've quarantined, 50 million people in China. They're trying to stop this thing. See, they cannot stop it. The world knows that there's things coming on the earth that they won't be able to stop. So the whole world is in fear of that. They're in panic of that. They don't know what to do. But a Christian should be able to stand and say, He is my hiding place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I will not fear what this world is happening in this world. I'm not like the rest of the world. We look like other people. You know, we go to church like other people. But listen, if you're in Christ, you're a creature
Amen.
That has already passed from death into life.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You already have an assurance of life.
Amen.
So we see that everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
Amen.
Everything that can be shaken, and there's a reason for that. God shakes. He shakes us. He shakes the churches. He's shaking the nations. Because everything that can be shaken will move away, and it's the things that cannot be shaken that'll stand forever.
Amen.
And that's Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. I have a lot of scripture today, so I want to try and stay with it. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. God doesn't have any grandchildren.
Amen.
The church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse him not that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Amen.
For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
With reverence and godly fear. See, that's the way we should live. With reverence to God, with godly fear. Not the fear of the world, the dread, the fear that they're in that is of torment. See, godly reverence and godly fear is not that way. See, we have reverence for God, we have godly fear, but we're secure in Him.
Amen.
See, we just want to do what He wants us to do. Where the world is in this torment fear, they have no certainty, they're uncertain. We are certain of God. We have a certainty in God. So serve God with reverence and fear. You know, the people of the world don't know what's coming. See, Bible readers realize what's coming. When Christ came first, that was the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen.
And then He stopped and He put down the book because He was only fulfilling the first part of there in Isaiah. But now in the second coming, the day of vengeance of our God.
Amen.
So the wrath of God, Bible readers know that the day of the Lord, a great and dreadful day of the Lord, the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world.
Amen.
The great tribulation period's coming. We are living right before that time, and I believe the rapture does take place before we ushers in this great tribulation, but we're seeing the world getting set up for that.
Amen.
This time of trouble that never was. So I do believe with all my heart, those that are in Christ, you were in Him on Calvary. You don't need to pay again by going through tribulation period.
Amen.
See, because it's already paid for. He paid the price.
Amen.
And we're in Christ, and He died on the cross, and we died with Him.
Amen.
See, some people believe you have to earn it through tribulation. Now, I do believe people will be in the tribulation that will give their life for Christ.
Amen.
And Brother Branham talked about that. More people will give their life for Christ under persecution. But the people of the world don't realize, but they will.
Amen.
realize. Let's go to Revelations chapter 6. Again, referenced to the last days, verse 15. And the kings of the earth. Now look at this. And the great men. And the chief captains. And the mighty men. And every bondman. And every freeman. Listen, everybody's in that. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Listen, nobody can stand that. Nobody here, I don't care how righteous you've lived, nobody can stand in the justice of God. When he comes right now, that bloody lamb is on the mercy seat. So he's sitting there and he's making intercession for us. When we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. But there's coming a time, there's coming a moment in time when he'll come off that throne to claim what he had purchased. And I believe that's the rapture of the church.
Amen.
See, it's not only us, but, you know, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. He's claiming his bride.
Amen.
Out of all those ages.
Amen.
And see, when he does, he comes off the mercy suit, and that's the time, let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. There's coming a time when mercy will end. One of the great sermons Brother Branham talked about was the throne, the white throne of judgment, and he talked about that time where that's a hard thing to think about. But there's coming a time, and I believe we're close to that time when the rapture takes place and the bride goes up from this earth, that there will be no more mercy. So people will go to church thinking they're getting mercy, and there is no more mercy. How horrible is that?
Mm-hmm.
Now is the time to repent.
Yes,
now is the time to get right with God.
Amen.
So I look at those things and I think, wow, what a time. We need to make sure that we serve God with reverence and fear.
Amen.
Our attitude should be always with humility and with reverence. We should never be haughty, ever. Even if people of the world are wrong, we're not to be haughty, we're to be humble.
Amen.
We're to have reverence and fear of God. It's a good time to make sure you have the right attitude.
Amen.
The wrong attitude is death in this time. We have the right attitude towards God and the right attitude towards the things of God.
Amen. That's
so, listen, God, he's complete in himself.
Amen.
Isn't he?
Amen.
He doesn't change if we pray.
Amen.
We change when we pray.
Amen.
He doesn't change when we read the Word of God.
Amen.
He stays the same.
Amen.
We change.
Amen.
What am I trying to say? God doesn't need us
Amen.
To pray.
Amen.
But we need to pray.
Amen.
God doesn't need us to feed on this word. But we need.
Amen.
Now, I want us to see the difference. I'm not talking about the legalistic requirement. You are required to pray. You are required to. That's a bunch of nonsense. We need to pray.
Amen.
We need the Word of God.
Amen.
There's a big difference in that. It's recognizing your need. Don't do it just out of duty, because you're not going to get anything out of it.
Amen.
I read my chapter today. Check. Okay, you can check it. But what did you get out of it?
Amen.
Did you learn anything? Did you get closer to God? Did God speak to your heart? Is it going to make a change? His word and his spirit changes things.
Amen.
He hovered over this earth when it was dark and void. There was nothing there. And the word and the spirit made a change.
Amen.
Transforming this world of darkness into a beautiful thing. So we need God to change us.
Amen.
And that doesn't happen when you go through a legalistic motion of praying because, well, I pray because I have to pray every day or else I'm not a Christian. See, when Brother Branham says a Christian reads his Bible and prays every day, he's saying, because we need to.
Amen.
We need God every day. A Christian recognizes his need, recognizes that I need to pray or else I'll become cold. I need the Word of God because I need the strength from the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word is a weapon against the spirits of this world. God help us to see our need.
Amen.
Psalm 147:11 says, "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him." Now think about this, what the Bible is saying. "The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." In those that hope in His mercy. See, you can't trust in your works. You can't trust in your righteousness. We trust in Him.
Amen.
We trust in His mercy. It's all about what He's done for us. Let's go to Psalm 33. I got some other wonderful scriptures I want to share. Psalm 33, verse 8. The Word is beautiful. The Word is wonderful. The Word is food for our souls.
Amen.
Psalms 33, verse 8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him.
Amen.
For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance.
Amen.
The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation He looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him.
Amen.
Upon them that hope in His mercy. Oh, we need His mercy today. We need mercy.
Amen.
To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Amen.
For our heart rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name.
Amen.
Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Praise God. I draw strength from that. When I read the Psalms, it speaks to me. You know, I heard a man say one time, you know, the Psalms helps me with my relationship with God. The Proverbs helps me with my relationships with man. You know, there's so many things in the Word of God that help us, that we benefit from. Job said, "He passes me by and I perceive Him not." I believe God is around us every day.
Amen.
I believe every day He's wanting to bless us if we would just make time for Him. If we would just listen to Him. If we would just turn our hearts to Him.
Amen.
Say, "God, I need You.
Amen.
I need Your help." You know, when I'm about to walk into a room where a man is dying and I say, "Lord, I'm helpless in myself. I have no wisdom to impart. I have nothing. But Lord, I'm humbling myself to You. Help me. Give me the words to say. He is my strength.
Amen.
He is my hiding place.
Amen.
I have no confidence in myself, but I have great confidence in the Spirit of God."
Amen.
If we come to Him with our needs, He's going to help us in the time of need.
Amen.
And what I noticed is, not me, but any Christian who has faith, when you get around people that they're not used to praying and they're not used to seeking God, they draw strength from you.
Amen.
I remember when my dad was dying, my mother just clung to me like she held onto my arm, and she just wanted to be near me because I had a peace on me.
Amen.
I had a peace about me. And it's not me, it's Christ. It's not you, it's Christ in you.
Amen.
That people are, they feed off that. Amen. They feed off that Spirit of God.
Amen.
That quiet confidence of God that He gives to us.
Amen.
He is our hiding place.
Amen.
He is my hiding place.
Amen.
I don't see one place on this earth where you can hide. This coronavirus, the world is afraid. I want you to know, I'm not afraid.
Amen.
There's nothing on this earth that we should be afraid of.
Amen.
The only thing that I have any ounce of fear of is God.
Amen.
God is the only thing to be afraid of. He said, fear not what man can do unto you. Fear him that can destroy the body and soul in hell.
Amen.
See, so don't be afraid. Don't let the fear of all those around you get on you. Don't let all their concern. We have a place of hiding. We have a place of rest. Not a physical place. It's in Christ.
Amen.
In Christ. In Christ. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's go to Isaiah 66. Verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word.
Amen.
See, do we want God to look our way? Do we want God to pay attention to our needs? Do we want him to hear our prayers? See, what we need to do is be of a poor and a contrite spirit. See, a contrite spirit. What is that? It's a broken spirit. Not a haughty spirit. Not an arrogant spirit, a broken spirit. Tremble at the word of God. Have a respect for the word of God. Make God and his word a priority in your life.
Amen.
See, that's the man he's going to look to.
Amen.
Someone that reads his word and prays and believe that God will answer your prayers.
Amen.
You know, I think that's part of salvation. It's you know, hearing the word, but receiving the word of God, accepting the word of God, accepting Christ. You know, again, a lot of us were raised Catholic, and they hold up the little host and they say, this is God. If you eat this, you'll live forever. So we believe they have the wrong interpretation of that. They're looking at what Jesus said with a carnal mind. But he is the Word.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Amen.
See, and we, when we receive his Word, what's his Word? It's truth and spirit.
Hey.
When we receive Christ into us, we receive eternal life.
Amen.
Yeah, it would be nice if we had a little piece of wafer we could pass around. Everybody could live forever. But that's not... that's not really the truth, is it?
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Job believed in prayer. Let's talk about Job for a minute, because he continually prayed for his family.
Amen.
Let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed, it means he went away from evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters, 10 children. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called their three sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart." Thus did Job continually. See, he prayed for his children. You know, maybe when he looked at his children and he saw their attitude, he got concerned. You know, we're all like that. You know, if you're a Christian and you want your kids to serve God and you see a wrong attitude, well, you pray for them, like Job was praying for them, right? Now, he offered sacrifices. You know, there's only one sacrifice for sin now. It's Calvary. We don't have to offer bulls and goats and sheep and oxen like they did back then before Calvary, because we know there's only one sacrifice needed now, and that was on Calvary. He offered that sacrifice, and everything time since then, we just looked to Calvary. It's like when Moses smote the rock once, he wasn't to smite it again, right? He got in trouble for smiting it again. Amen. See, he was supposed to smite the rock once, and then he was to speak to the rock after that once. He once made a sacrifice for sin, and now we speak of what he's done.
Amen.
So the sacrifices that we make are to look to the sacrifice of God, and then we offer up to God, and we pray, and we intercede for those that we love. Like Job prayed for his family. He was concerned about his children.
Amen.
We're concerned about our children.
Amen.
We're concerned about our loved ones.
Amen.
So he prayed for them continually. And today, we should do the same.
Amen.
We should pray continually for our loved ones,
Amen.
Right? Now, I believe it's still possible to build a hedge of protection around your children. I believe that. How does that? It's through faith and prayer. Now let's look at Job chapter 1 verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" Do you see the reality of that? "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." What's the devil meant to? You got a hedge of protection around this guy. I can't touch him without your permission. Yes, God did give him permission to touch Job. But remember, in the end, everything was restored and all of his children were saved.
Amen.
All of them were saved.
Amen.
He did get a new set of children, but he's going to get those other ones too. That's what I believe, because that's what the Bible says.
Amen.
Everything was restored to him. Praise God.
Amen.
The point I'm trying to make, though, is that you focus on that through faith and prayer, we can make requests to God and we can pray protection on our families.
Amen.
On our loved ones. It's not in vain. Prayer is not in vain.
Amen.
No, sir, bro. Amen.
Prayer makes a difference.
Amen.
And that's why when we pray, we should pray with purpose and pray with faith, expecting God to hear our prayers and that he will give us what we've asked for when we pray. And I think today, in this great and dreadful time, we need to pray for our families. And it is possible, I believe, without any doubt, to pray a hedge of protection around your families. See, God does make a difference between his people and people that aren't his. That's all through the Bible we see that. God help us. You know, when look at Israel when the plague struck in Egypt. Let's turn to that for a moment. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Exodus 9. It really is amazing when you look at it. I mean, I don't feel like we're more worthy than other people. It's just the grace of God in our lives. And we need to recognize that. Exodus 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, and upon the horses, and upon the asses, and upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, and there will be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's. Verse 5, And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing upon the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one.
Amen.
Not one.
Hallelujah. Praise the little Lord.
Now, how did that happen?
Yes.
Amen. It's the hand of God.
Amen.
You cannot explain that. Whatever it was, if there was some kind of disease or whatever hit those cattle, or if God just smote them, whatever it was, he smote them, but he didn't smite them.
Amen.
It could have been in the same field, a cattle of the Egyptian, and over there is a cattle of Israel, and that one died and that one didn't. There's a difference in God's eyes between his people and the people of the world. But what about in your eyes?
Woo! Glory, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's keep going here. Exodus 9, verse 20. I'm skipping a little bit, but just to emphasize. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt, so there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail.
Amen.
Amen.
Peace, God.
Amen.
Israel's God was God.
Amen. Amen.
He was God. He watched over them. Listen, he's in control of everything. He controls, he can control the weather if he wants to.
Amen.
He can control all the devils of the world.
Amen.
They can only go so far. And then they have to ask permission. God of heaven and earth, I'm just a little devil, and I'd like to attack that one over there, but there's a hedge of protection around there. Could I get past that? No.
Amen. Amen.
The devil is a servant to God. Do you realize the devil is a tool in the hand of God? If God permits anything to come our way, it's for our good.
Amen.
Now, sometimes we struggle with that. But the Word says, all things work together
Amen.
For good
Amen.
To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
See, so if I believe the Word of God, I have to believe that everything that comes my way, He permitted it.
Fine.
So instead of complaining and talking about the devil and the devil did this and the devil did that. The devil didn't do anything, but God let him do it. And so if I have a trial, if I have a sickness, if I have something that I'm dealing with, God had to permit it for a purpose. So who are we going to turn to? We're going to turn to Him. Lord, help me to understand. Teach me what I need to know. Amen. Deliver me from this.
Amen.
He is our deliverer.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
He is our hiding place.
Amen.
He is the place to go. Don't
Amen.
Listen, if you have a trial, don't complain about it. Learn.
Amen.
What you need to say is, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God. He allowed this for a purpose. He created this situation in my life for a purpose.
Amen.
Am I going to just sit for the rest of my days and complain about it? Or am I going to seek His face
Amen.
And say, Lord, fountain of all wisdom,
Amen.
Teach me what I need to know.
Amen.
You have my full attention. Sometimes trials are a way to get our attention. If everything went right, you know, we just, everything's going good. It's like David, everything's going good. And he starts looking out the window. He sees Bathsheba. God help us.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we need a good trial once in a while. Listen, to be honest with you, I've stopped expecting a life without trials.
Amen.
I remember early on, I was like, if I can just get past this one, I'll be good to go. And then you get past that one, and you look back and you say, I still believe God. Praise God.
Amen.
But then another one came.
Amen.
And I said, if I could just get past this one, I'll be good to go.
Amen.
And what I realized after a while is like, you know what? I guess I'm always going to have a trial.
Amen.
Right? Brother Freedom came here and preached a wonderful sermon. He said, you're either in a storm, you're either coming out of a storm or you're going into a storm. You're either going into one, you're in one, or you're coming out of one.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
See, but if you have Him, you got shelter in the eye of the storm. The hurricane is the winds are really, really fast, but inside that eye, there's calm. There's peace. That's in Christ right there.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Exodus 10, verse 22. I love this one. This is really amazing. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days. It was so dark, they couldn't see anything in front of them. That's really dark. Thick darkness, they couldn't see anything. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, darkness can't exist where light is. Light scatters darkness, right? You could be in a very dark room and you just light a match and the darkness scatters. Just a little light shines bright when it's really dark, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What is light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my paths, right? Thy word is a lamp and a light unto my path. The word of God is a light. If you feel like you're in darkness, read the Bible. Pray. He'll give you light.
Amen.
I got this situation. I just don't know what to do. And you ask this person, that person, that person, that person. How about the person?
Amen.
Why is he the last one, people ask? He should be the first one.
Amen.
You know, I recognize men, you know, your loved ones might be wise and good intentioned. But they could give you advice with the right motives and give you the wrong advice.
True, that's right.
But God knows everything.
Amen.
He can put thoughts into your mind
Amen.
And show you truth like nobody else.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. He's my counselor.
Amen.
The Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father.
Amen.
right? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Counselor.
Amen.
Is he your counselor?
Amen.
The mighty God, the everlasting Father.
Amen.
How is the child the everlasting Father? The Lord our God is one.
Amen. Glory.
Jesus wasn't the second person. He was the person, right?
Amen.
The everlasting Prince of Peace. I tell you what, he's my counselor.
Amen.
I won't pay a dime to a human counselor when I have a divine counselor.
Amen.
Who's more than able to communicate with us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Exodus 12, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Amen.
So the death angel comes down and he's looking, but he sees the blood on the door and he passes by. Right? You ever see the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
And they got that kind of like the greenish stuff coming down, you know. I don't know what it looked like. But I do believe when it saw the blood on the door, it passed by.
Amen.
And those died that didn't have the blood. Oh, we need the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
What does that mean? The literal blood? No, not the literal blood, but the life that was in the blood.
Amen.
The token today is not a literal blood, but it's the life that was in the blood of Jesus coming back into us. And when the devil comes up to your door of your habitation, he sees blood.
Amen.
He sees the life of the blood.
Amen.
He can't touch you. He needs permission from Almighty God.
Amen.
You're sealed. God owns you. You're sealed. The token is on your soul.
Amen.
Oh, thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank God for that protection. I'm going to have confidence in that.
Amen.
Amen, bro.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Exodus 14. Oh, I love this part here. Let's Exodus 14, verse 11. Does God make a difference?
Amen.
He sure does. Exodus 14:11. And they said unto Moses, because there was, this is when the army chased Israel to the Red Sea. Oh, don't you love this scene?
Amen.
And they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? You know, isn't it amazing? Even when they had the wrong attitude, God still saved them. Because they were his people.
Amen.
He chose Israel. Abraham was under an unconditional covenant. And do you realize we are under the same covenant of Abraham?
Amen.
Through faith in what he did on Calvary.
Hallelujah.
That's the New Testament covenant. Galatians talks about it. We are under that blessing.
Amen.
Wherefore, to die in the wilderness, wherefore hast thou dealt with thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we would die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever.
Amen.
The threatening army, the ones causing fear, were nothing before God.
Amen.
If they were seeing right, they wouldn't fear the Egyptians. They would have felt sorry for them because they're going to die today.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Sometimes we just need to be quiet and let God do the work. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thou thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea to divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I beheld, I will And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all this host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And then I love this part, verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Now they were led by the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire. So it's leading them. But now there's a time when it needs to separate them from the invading army. So it moves behind them.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel.
Amen.
And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left.
Amen.
Our God is God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we're approaching a time on this earth. You need to know your God.
Amen.
You need to have confidence in your God.
Amen.
We can have no confidence in man. We can have no confidence in ourselves, but our confidence will be in the supernatural power of a living God.
Amen.
I don't want to be one of those that starts complaining against Moses and complaining against God. Oh, you should have let us die in Egypt.
Amen.
No, stand still.
Amen.
And see the salvation of God.
Amen.
When on all sides, when the fear starts to try and come around you, you need to stand there and say, my God is God.
Amen.
The same God that touched me and I was born of the Spirit of God, that same God protects me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to have to stand.
Amen.
Your faith's been tested. It's going to be tested again.
Amen.
Amen.
See, but it just proves your faith.
Amen.
And here's the beautiful thing. It's not even your faith. It's His faith.
Hallelujah. Glory.
It's not even you overcoming. It's Him overcoming through you.
Hallelujah.
And He gives us credit. The bride hath made herself ready. It was Him in the bride making herself
Amen.
Ready.
Glory.
What a great God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our God is God.
Amen.
I love that.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I don't believe there's any other God.
No, sir. Amen.
There's only one God,
yes.
And His name
is
Jesus. It's a name above all names.
Amen.
There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved.
Amen.
The name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Do you have confidence? What is the Spirit of God saying? Have confidence in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Have confidence in the Word of God.
Amen.
Believe in the face of disease and pestilence and fear. You believe your God is God.
Amen. Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
How great is our God. How great is His Word.
Amen.
Amen. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He's a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen.
Storms are coming.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I don't believe it's going to be easier as we get closer.
Yes, sir.
I actually believe it's going to get much harder as we get closer.
Amen.
Because it's birth pains. And when a woman's in labor, again, I was never in labor, but I saw it. The birth pains get harder and they get closer together. Harder, more intense, and closer together. The natural types the spiritual. See, there's coming a birth. This time, it's not a baby Jesus.
No, sir.
It's a mature Jesus standing in His bride.
Amen.
Do you know who's going to call for the resurrection?
Mm.
It's the voice of God
Amen.
Through the bride.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
See? The voice of God in us. You know, when Brother Branham talked about that third pole being manifested, and he talked about the five times of the spoken word. See, He was saying, and it was like he was given instructions. He says, I'm saying this, I'm being told, the angel was telling him what to say. Mm-hmm. And he didn't fully understand it. He says, now it's made its presence known among you, but it will not be fully manifested until the time of the squeeze.
Amen.
The power of the spoken word. Amen. The creative power of God. And notice, the five times the squirrels were created, animal life. The fish came back to life, right? The storm, all nature, all weather, right? Hattie writes children, all human beings.
Amen.
And then that last one on the tumor, all demonic spirits.
Mm-hmm.
He told us through those manifestations, I'm the God of everything.
Amen.
I have power over everything.
Amen.
And I'm going to step into my bride and speak through her.
Amen.
You don't need to think. Brother Branham didn't say, oh, I'm going to really try hard now. It was the sovereign grace of God. Something came over him and told him what to do.
Amen.
You don't have to worry and say, when will I know? No, you'll know.
Amen.
What we need to do is humble ourselves to God.
Amen.
We need to have reverence and fear for God.
Amen.
Live a simple, humble Christian life.
Amen.
And God will do the rest. I'd like to finish with Psalm 91. You want to stand with me?
Amen.
I love this psalm because it says so much. Somebody gave us a wonderful kind of plaque with this psalm on it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Let me just read it to you. I trust that the Lord is speaking to us today.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Amen.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
Amen.
Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. See, the Lord is thy habitation.
Amen.
There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under his feet.
Amen.
Now these last verses, verse 14 through 16, this is God speaking. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Hey!
What a God. What a God. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. The good news is, if you've been born again, you have Him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, how I need You, Lord. I need You every day, oh God. Lord, I pray You build a hedge of protection around us today.
Amen.
Each and every one that's here, Lord, all under the sound of my voice, all of our loved ones, all of our children, Lord. We just ask You protect us from the demons and the pestilence in this last age, oh God. Draw us closer to Yourself.
Yes, Lord.
Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes. Amen.
Cleanse our hearts and our minds.
Yes.
Wash us with the blood of Calvary and make us whiter than snow. How we need you, O God. Lord, men's hearts are failing for fear, according to your word. Pestilence, distress of nations, perplexity, we see it all coming to pass. And Lord, we know in our hearts and believe you're coming back.
Amen.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to be a witness for you. Help us, Lord, to do your will while we still have breath in us, Lord. Give us the words to say. In your word, it says we should think not what we're going to say, but in that hour, you'll give us the words to say. Help us, O God. Fill us with your Spirit. Quicken your word each and every time we open this great book. Quicken your word to us, O God. Give us understanding beyond our years.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to see the wisdom of God. Help us to have your Spirit so we can apply the word as you would apply the word.
Amen.
And Lord, have mercy on us.
Yes, Lord.
Make us a merciful people.
Yes, Lord.
May we reach out to the lost and dying. May we not look down on any human being, Lord, but may we just point them to you, point them to Calvary. Oh Lord, scatter sickness from our midst, take away all spiritual affliction, the devil's a tormentor. Lord Satan, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose your hold on this people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Take your hold from their minds. Take all doubt and fear with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, loose your hold. You must go according to the word of God. You must go. Praise the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love. Help us to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you, Jeremy, for coming.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes I get so inspired with thoughts and I think, Lord, just help me. I feel so insufficient to communicate to you what he says to me, what I feel he says to me through his word. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
We are unworthy people.
Amen.
Every one of us, we're unworthy, unprofitable
Amen.
Servants. There's nothing good in us but what he does in us.
Amen.
But what he does is wonderful.
Amen.
What he does is wonderful. Amen. How great is our God, Jeremy?
Amen.
How great is his word?
Amen.
He's the greatest one. Amen. That's not it, is it? What's the chorus to that? That's it. Let's just sing the chorus. I don't know the verses. Amen. Help us, Jeremy. There you go. Man, I wish I could sing. How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one. He's the greatest one. The greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. How great is our God? How great is our God? How great is his word? He's the greatest one. The greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. Let's try and sing that higher. I don't know what that means, but How great is our...
Is that good?
How great is his word? He's the greatest one. He's the greatest one. The greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the waters. Praise God. Of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me.
Amen.
Give me all in my lamp. Keep me burning. Oh, give me all in my lamp. I pray. Give me all in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And we'll sing Hosanna. Sing, sing Hosanna to the King. And we'll sing Hosanna.